Let us turn, please, to Philippians, the 4th chapter. Begin reading with verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. This is a preparatory service for the communion on the Lord's Day. It's been the custom in our church here in Collingswood all these years, and it is a custom that's come down from our Scotch forebears in Scotland. And it has been a part of the Reformation testimony that God's people prepare for the communion. The Lord Jesus Christ told us that we were to come in remembrance of Him and take the Holy Communion. We were told that we were to search ourselves and we were to partake of this communion without sin. We also believe that the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is one of the two sacraments which God has left the church. Our Savior appointed them in the church. And that the sacraments are means by which He does communicate to us His mysterious and glorious grace. We live by grace. We need grace to sustain us. And there are, of course, first the Bible, the Scriptures, as a means of grace. And then there is, of course, prayer. And then we have the sacraments. These three things are special means which are open to us whereby we may obtain grace. And when we come to the Holy Communion, we want the grace of God to abound in our hearts, and we want to receive the blessing that God has for us from the communion. But that blessing, beloved, is an inward blessing. It's a blessing of the soul and of the spirit. It's a blessing which is a part of the sanctifying work of the Almighty God in your heart and in your life. Consequently, this practice of coming in anticipation and before the sacrament is observed is indeed a very good one, because it strengthens the church. It strengthens the church in its conviction of the truth. It strengthens its faith as a church. It strengthens our reliance upon grace, the grace of God which bringeth salvation. And it is designed in order that we might profit as the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, we simply cannot live day by day without the renewed grace of God. Now this passage, which I've taken tonight, of course, is just a continuation of the general exposition that I've been giving on Philippians. And we have gotten into some very rich and blessed passages. But I want to take that phrase in verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Now we've reached this great section of exhortation, but we also have here a great text of affirmation. And in verse 5, we were told, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Paul started this epistle in prayer, by praying for the people in Philippi. We come to the very close of this epistle, and he's talking again about prayer, And he says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And when we need wisdom, we ask God for it. When we have some great decisions that are just ahead of us, and we must face them, we ask God. We make known our requests. And I'm sure that what God has given us as a church is in answer to our prayers. I am sure that the way in which God has protected and kept our church through these years, in the midst of all of the varying vicissitudes which have confronted us, is in answer to our prayers. I am sure that the expanding ministry of our synod and our new churches and the development of our own denomination is in answer to our prayers. And I am sure, oh, I am sure, that as you people sit here, God has answered prayer time and time again. For your own physical well-being, for your renewal of your strength, and for your own special family concerns. We are a people of prayer, and we believe in prayer. And the apostle says, you be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so we have our prayer service. And beloved, I'm thankful that so many of you are here tonight. But I want to see the prayer services of our church increase in strength. The broad road of the world leadeth unto destruction. And our Savior said, many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And with all the attractions, and all the temptations, and all the pressures, and all the pulls, and all the enticements which are upon us today, we as a people must come to prayer, and we must come and make our request known unto God for the work of God, for the house of God, for the missionaries of God, for the chaplains of the Lord, and for those of us who have been called to minister faithfully His precious word in these latter days. Then the apostle says, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. A little later, as I read it to you, we had a reference here to the God of peace. The apostle says, the things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace is the one who communicates the peace. The peace of God is evidence that He has already given it to you, and the communication has taken place. And we're speaking tonight primarily about that peace of God which comes to a believer. And it is a peace which passeth your comprehension and understanding. Now there are several things that I want to tell you about the peace which the Lord says that you and I may have. In fact, there are three things in this passage that are very clearly a part of what He's talking of to us. The peace of God. First, there is the peace of justification. Second, there is the peace of obedience. And third, there is the peace of prayer. This text is in the immediate context of this exhortation to engage in this prayer. But you can't even start talking about the peace of God which passeth all understanding unless you've first been justified. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the beginning of peace in the heart of the believer. There is no peace for the wicked. They're like the troubled sea which casts up mire and dirt. But there is a peace that belongeth to the people of God. And it's the peace that comes by knowing that in the sight of
God, the record has been cleansed, the slate has been completely wiped away so far as any accusations against you is concerned, and we have been fully and completely declared to be just in the sight of God. Now, beloved, this is the all-important place where peace begins, and this is the all-important understanding of the Scripture in your heart so far as your standing in the sight of God is concerned. You have to be justified by grace and through faith in order to have peace with God. And that's the great transaction of the new birth. That's the great transaction of accepting Christ. That's the great transaction of knowing that God has imputed unto you the righteousness of Christ, and that God has taken all of your sins and laid them on the Son of God. That is the beginning of peace. Oh, beloved, the Son of God made peace for you and me by His death upon the cross. And consequently, when the apostle speaks here about the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, I cannot understand how God, in His infinite mercy, came down and provided for you and me a ransom. I can't understand it. And my justification, which is real, and which I know is accepted in the sight of God, because we put our faith in Him. Our justification, which undergirds and strengthens everything that the Bible says about salvation, has in it that mystery of how it is and why it is that God Almighty should come down here and do this deed for us. It's a mystery of the peace which you and I possess. I'm not going to develop that. I would like to, but it's the salvation which we preach. But in this passage, the apostle says in the second place, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. It is the peace of obedience in the life of a believer. And beloved, after you're saved, the whole life of the believer is one of following and obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all the Christian life is. And the great peace of the believer comes in knowing that I have done what my Savior has commanded me to do. And if you want the peace of God which passeth all understanding, your life must be one that's clean and clear and obedient under the Son of God. And you sought to serve Him with a clear conscience, and that will give you peace. Oh, beloved, how men can be so hypocritical, how men can live double lives, how men can double cross, how men can get these contradictions woven into their natures and think that they can have any kind of harmony or unity in their lives. I can't understand it, because it's not possible. A man who's once tasted and seen that the Lord is good and has found what it means to be at peace with God because of justification, that man cannot rest when he knows he's outside of the commands, he's outside of the will, he's not at peace, he's troubled, he's disturbed. But it's when a man obeys the Lord Jesus Christ, and your whole life is built upon that foundation. Our Savior said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and he that loveth me not keepeth not my commandments. And the Christian life is growing in an understanding of obedience. The Christian life is progress in an understanding of the revealed will of God. That's all it is. And when you walk that road, you have peace. When you walk that road, you have a deep, abiding understanding. The apostle said, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls unto Him as unto a faithful Creator. And we have peace. It's not the outward storm. It's not the raging of the ungodly about us that disturbs us, beloved. It is our own
mere disobedience to our God that causes us disturbance.
And that's why the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, is connected directly with what the apostle says. These things which you've seen and heard and seen, he says in me, you do them. You do them. And isn't it blessed? Isn't it a blessed experience when you find out that you've been doing something that you shouldn't ought to do and you quit it? And such a relaxation, such a relief comes as, oh, that's past, I'm out of that sort of experience. And you have a great refreshing in your soul. And that's what we're talking about, the peace of God which passeth all understanding. And God gives that peace to those who are obedient unto Him. It's the peace of obedience. Now, before I develop this third thought, I want to show you something here which is very precious. After we've been justified by faith, we sin. We say that we need to be forgiven daily and we need constant cleansing, and that's right. And so it is when we ask God at the close of the day, Lord, forgive us and make right the wrongs which we've done and give us grace to live the life that you'd have us live. You lay down in peace and you sleep in peace because you've talked to the Lord about it. That's why when we come to a communion service and we come to this table and we're under the discipline of the all-seeing eye of God so far as our heart is concerned. And beloved, don't you come to this table unless your heart's right. Don't you come to this table unless you're in a position truly to say to the Lord Jesus Christ, cleanse me and forgive me of everything and renew a right spirit within me. And you come and you'll find peace. And you'll go from the communion table out into the service where God has put you with a great rejoicing in your soul, knowing that you are in the will of your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We used to be told it wasn't work that killed men, it's worry. And I'm sure of this. I'm sure. Oh, beloved, you can do a tremendous amount of things on this earth when you got peace. You can just move on and you can endure all kinds of troubles when you have peace. And so this passage says that you and I are in a position where we may obtain this peace. Now, beloved, the peace I'm talking about here is not some soft, silly, wishy-washy sort of a thing. This is a peace that's built upon the fact that you know that your relationship to God is right and that you're seeking honestly to serve Him. I was interested in reading this next verse. I read it to you. Finally, he says, think on these things. He lists the things we're to think on. Whatsoever things are true starts out with that, you see, in the fourth verse. Whatsoever things are honest. And then he goes on down and says, think on these things. Think on these things. Think on these things. And I was reminded of the radio broadcast this week where I've been talking about the unthinkable thoughts that Senator Fulbright has been telling us that we're not supposed to think about, and he wants us to start thinking about making these concessions and accepting the communist world and all that sort of thing. Beloved, there are many things that we're not to entertain in our thinking as Christians if we want to have peace with God. But if you want to have peace with God, he says, you think on the things which are true, the things which are honest, the things which are just, the things which are pure, the things which are lovely, the things which are of good report. And if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, you'll spend your time thinking on these things. And look at the things which are true, the things which are honest, the things which are just, the things which are lovely, the things which are of good report. And these things are in the realm that contribute to your delight in your service of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will have peace. Isn't it a sad thing when you have to come home and say, I'm troubled. I'm troubled. I
What's troubling you? What's got a hold of you? What possesses you? What led you to your trouble? Let's get at the root of it. Let's find out what it is. If it's disobedience, let's straighten that life out and be obedient.
And now this leads me to the third, and that's the one that's in the immediate context. Notice what he says. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your minds. Beloved, I'm talking now in the third place about the peace that comes from making your desires known to God. The peace that comes from being in direct contact with Him in prayer. You know what you have? Why, you know that God is going to guide you, and He is going to take care of you, and He's going to keep you. And the Christian is one person who can live his life without this stinging, gnawing thing called worry. He can do it. You, by prayer and by supplication, with the thanksgiving that abounds in your praise to God, you let your request be made known unto Him. He'll answer. He'll take care of you. He has you in His hand. You don't need to be afraid of the future. You don't need to worry what the day is going to produce. Oh, the people who spend their day crossing the bridges that they never get to. And all the people who spend their time worrying over problems that never, never come to pass. No wonder our Savior said, take ye therefore no anxious thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And we are to be a people of prayer and a people of promise. And a people who believe that the God who redeemed us and the God whom we're serving is able to take care of us tomorrow. And that He will. And that gives you peace. Oh, beloved, if I didn't have the Lord to trust, I probably would have been in six insane asylums by this time. That's right. You can't even begin to imagine if you just didn't have the Lord. But the bigger the problems, the bigger the Lord. And the more difficulties you have, the more precious prayer becomes. And the more experiences you have along the way, as you're seeking to honor the one who was raised from the dead, the deeper is that abiding confidence and peace in your heart that you belong to the Son of God, and that in Jesus' keeping, you're absolutely safe. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. I can't understand it, but I understand how it's produced. I can't understand the depths of it, but I understand how I got into it. I don't understand the fullness of what God's going to do in keeping my heart, but I know He's able to do it. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. God's going to take care of. God's going to see us through all along the journey that's before us. Now, you know what He said? He shall keep your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. Now your heart has to do with your feeling, your emotion, and your mind has to do with your thought. And He shall direct your thoughts. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. He will direct your thoughts. He will show you in your mind. And then with it, there's that tender
nurture of your heart, your feeling, your emotion, that which leads you so many times to make these acts of yours. But how will you do it? Through Jesus Christ. And beloved, there is no peace outside of Jesus Christ. There is absolutely no peace for the believer outside of Jesus Christ. He's justified by his faith in Jesus Christ. He finds peace in his obedience to Jesus Christ. His whole exercise of prayer is through Jesus Christ and in the name of Jesus Christ. And consequently, the peace that you receive in the midst of the struggles of this life in which you're seeking to serve the Almighty God has been brought to you through Jesus Christ, our Savior. He shall keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. Thou, O Christ, art all I want. More than all, in Thee I find. This is where we get the peace that passeth all understanding. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank Thee for the strength that comes from the Word. We thank Thee that this Word meets our needs so specifically and so directly. God, grant that we shall have this peace. For Christ's sake, amen.